Good to have Daryl and Karen here this morning. Daryl's our speaker.
Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcoming silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful things above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sitting alone at eve and counting the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in his mercy comes with his word he is drawing near, spreading his love and truth around me and everywhere. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face. Trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above.
Will you please stand for prayer?
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together. We ask you to be with all those who are not able to be here this morning because of illness. So many of our number are ill. Comfort and strengthen them and help them to regain their health as only you can. Help us to be better Christians, better examples. Be with our congregation here and our sister congregations. Help us grow spiritually and numerically. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Please turn to 513. I'm going to sing the first and last verse of this song, please. Then we'll turn it over to Daryl.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never grow old.
morning. We're down a few on our numbers. Some are traveling, as was mentioned. Others are sick and not feeling well. But I'm glad that each one of you is here. And I know the Lord is happy and glad that you're here as well. And those that might be watching us on Facebook or YouTube or whatever method that you might be watching, we're glad you're watching the broadcast, the podcast as it might come along. And dear Lord, we would ask and pray that you would, maybe if you're in the area, or you live in the area, or if you're traveling through the area, you'd take the time to stop in and worship with us. We're so glad to have you with us as we begin our worship here. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the first four verses of this passage this morning as we start our lesson. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place when Quirinius was the governor in Syria. And so all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, as we begin this part of our worship service, I would ask and pray, dear Lord, that the things that I bring forth to the people today, the things that we learn, the things that we study, Lord, you will be pleased with. We will understand them, dear Lord, and be able to apply them to our knowledge of what your word says and how we should deal with things and how we should live. It's in the name of your Son, I pray. Amen. The life of Christ is something that we talk about from time to time. Hopefully we talk about it from time to time with people other than here at the church building. When we're family, we're friends, we have the opportunity, hopefully we have, and talk with them. We like to talk about miracles, healings, the teachings that Christ did, you know, the miracles of feeding the 5,000, the healing where he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the deaf to be able to hear, the teachings such as the Beatitudes that we find on the Sermon on the Mount, and the other teachings that Jesus did as he was standing oftentimes along the seashore. We seem to be willing to talk about his betrayal there in the night of his betrayal. We seem to be willing to talk about his death upon the cross, his burial, his resurrection. And then we'll also, from time to time, talk about his ascension. And we are talk about these things, hopefully, with people. But these are the things we talk about here, from our sermons, from the Bible classes that we have. But we seem to be less willing to talk about his birth. How many times throughout a year do we talk to anybody about the birth of Christ? How many times throughout the year do we hear a sermon about the birth of Christ, other than probably around Christmas time? Is it because it's become so commercialized? Is it because it's such a money-making time of year that all the stores have got specials running? You got Black Friday sales, you got this sale, you got that sale. Haven't we helped commercialize it ourselves by going and buying gifts, buying things, putting things earlier, maybe in the summer, on layaway to pick out and get out around the holiday, the Christmas time? Do we not talk about it because, do we not look at the birth of Christ because it's become such a focal point for the, quote, religious world at this time, and we don't want to be like them? So we don't talk about it at Christmas? Or if we don't talk about it at Christmas, why don't we talk about it in the middle of July? Or in the first part of March? Is it because we don't know the date of his death? The date of his birth? We don't know. We know his death was around Passover. We don't know the date of his birth. Is it because we are only told to celebrate his death and not his birth, that we only talk about his death and we don't talk about his birth? Well, December 25th has become chosen as Christ's birth. Well, why? Well, when you get on the internet and you start doing some searching, you can find all kinds of things. I've got just a couple of them mentioned here. Some say that it's approximately 9 months after the Jewish Passover. So if you're going from when the Jewish Passover generally is, which is more in March, and you're getting into December, that's 9 months. And some say, well, that was when the conception occurred. And they apply that off of the date that they find that Elizabeth knew that she conceived, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, which was Mary's aunt and uncle, and the time that he served in the temple and he got out. And some people have figured it out. That's when they say, that's why they choose December 25th. This is the one that I've heard of for the longest. Some say it's because of the pagan holidays, especially those of the Druids up in England and other parts of the world over there, which celebrated the winter solstice December 22nd. Now, we all celebrate December 22nd in one way or another, whether you know it or not. When December 22nd rolls around, we say, now the days are going to get longer again. We won't be going to bed so quick in the dark here before long. And the Roman Catholic Church took that period of time where the Druids would worship the sun as one of their gods. And they believed that the sun was being reborn because the days were becoming longer. So the Roman Catholic Church said, no, that's the celebration of Christ's birth, the Son of God being born. So that is why they then took December 25th and made it the day that they would celebrate the birth of Christ. And that's one of the other reasons that date is celebrated. And you could go ahead and look on the internet and you can come up with another dozen or so reasons of why the 25th of December was chosen to be the date that people would celebrate the birth of Christ. The fact is, we just don't know when Jesus was born. As Christians, we say in the Bible, we can't find a command to celebrate his birth. And you would be right. There is no command to celebrate his birth. We are to celebrate his death. His death on the cross, which took away our sins, which we will celebrate, we'll remember it. In a short period of time, we will partake of the Lord's Supper. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here in a little while. But did you know that his birth was celebrated at least 5 times in the Bible? Now, it was prophesied many different times. But we can look and we can see where there was a celebration, a joyful rejoicing of some case or another. Let's go stay here in Luke chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 8. Now, there were in the same country, and I hope you've got your Bibles opened up that you can follow along, or your iPad or your smartphone or however you follow along. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The shepherds were greatly afraid of what happened. We got people scared right now with drones flying all over the place. Well, can you imagine if all of a sudden you've got an angel there? Angel's a little more impressive than a drone. A drone can be taken down. A drone can be controlled. An angel by mankind cannot be controlled. So you've got this angel that has showed up. And the angel says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign for you, that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not singing in a way oftentimes is used in the song, but saying these words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What were the angels doing? They were celebrating Christ's birth. They came, they told the shepherds, we're going to tell you something. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you're going to find him. And we could go into a whole lesson on how they found Jesus, but we won't take that time to do it. We will mention the fact, though, that they were out in the shepherd or in the fields, which we're going to look at here in a minute. But the angels were there taking the time to celebrate. Who else saw it? I don't know. We oftentimes think that the shepherds were the only ones that saw this. And the Lord God can do what he wants. And perhaps they were the only ones. Or perhaps others may have seen the glory of the Lord that was shining. I don't know. We don't know. We know the shepherds did. And the angels celebrated his birth by telling this to the shepherds. And so it was then in verse 15. We're going to continue on down through verse 20. When the angels had gone away into the heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let's grab a cup of coffee over here and have ourselves a snack. And we'll go down in the morning after we get a good night's sleep and see if we can find this kid. No, that's not what they said. They were excited. And they said to one another, let us go now. Now let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. We were picked. Do you remember when you were in school and there was something going on? Or where they were going to divide up teams. Can you remember those days? And you were always, if you're like me, you wanted to be picked first. If not, I'll at least take second. And you wanted to be picked. Well, that's the way these shepherds are. They said, the Lord has picked us to know this. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, as it had been prophesied, as the angels had told them where to go. When they saw him, they made it known widely. They went telling their other shepherds, the people they sold their flocks to, the butchers, the people that maybe would have housed their lambs later, because it says that they were in the fields, which was not the time of this time of year, but that would have either been the spring or the fall. But they told anybody and everybody they went by. They seen him, they made it known widely, the saying that was told them concerning this child. What was that saying? There is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And they told others. They went around celebrating. The Savior has been born. Continuing on, verse 18. And all of those who heard it marveled at those things which had been told them by the shepherds. Mary kept these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What had they been told about? His death? No. They had been told about his birth, and they celebrated his birth. They celebrated his birth. Let's go down to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. Jesus has been taken to the temple. He is to be circumcised, as was Jewish tradition, on the eighth day. And verse 25, while they were there at the temple, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just, devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. What does that consolation mean? It means they were looking, what would be the equivalent? He was waiting for the Messiah. His whole life was surrounding the wait for the Messiah. Because it had been revealed to him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine that? Think back to some gift that you wanted. Think back to something that you were told, you're going to get this. You may have to wait for a while, but you're going to get this. You're going to get this promotion. You're going to get this new car. You're going to get these new clothes, this new house, whatever. You're going to get it. And you're going to get it before you die. I mean, it wouldn't be a very good gift if you were going to get it after you died. The only time that goes into play is when it comes to our salvation. But that's a whole nother lesson. But he was told he would not see it. Death until he had seen the Lord Christ, or before he had seen Jesus. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do him according to the custom of the law, that's the circumcision, Simeon took him up in his arms and he blessed God, saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light, a revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken to him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. And a sword will pierce through your soul also, and that the thoughts of the many of the hearts would be revealed. Simeon gave God glory. He thanked the Lord. When you have a birthday, what do? Someone gives you a card. Thank you. Somebody gives you a gift. You say, thank you. Simeon looked at the Lord God, in as we would, probably looked up and said, thank you. I can die now in peace. I've seen your son. I've seen your Christ. One more. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and the woman was about 84 years old, and we won't worry about the math of how long she had been there at the temple. And she had not departed from the temple, but she had served God with fasting and prayers night and day, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption of Israel. Those are all people who are celebrating his birth, giving God thanks that he's born. Let's look at a couple of others here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is the telling of this, the wise men that came. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to do what? To worship him." What are we doing here today? We are worshiping God. We are giving God honor and glory that should be his. And they had come to worship God's son because they had seen his star in the east from where they were. Where from? I don't know. China? India? Pakistan? The Iraq? Iran? We don't know for sure. We don't know for sure, but they had come a distance. With that, we do know. And when they gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For it is written by the prophets. Scribes and those are telling this to the king. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are you not the least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And of course we know how Herod said, well, you go find him and you come back and you tell me so I can come and worship him. Of course we know that's not what Herod wanted to do at all. He wanted to kill him. But let's get back to the wise men. Verse 9. When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. Now, I've heard people say, well, they were just following the North Star, or they were following this or that or the other. No, this was a star put in the sky by the Lord God because it does one thing that all other stars do not do. It moved of its own on God's direction. Oh, now you may look at night, and I know it at night they use the North Star because they say it never moves. And the other stars move, but the other stars all move in connection with the North Star. You always find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper in the same general place. You always find Pegasus and whatever all the other constellations are in a particular place in relation to the North Star. But this one moved. Just like you. When you're going to go home, you're going to get in your vehicle, your car, your truck, whatever you drove here today. And you're going to go. And you're going to go the way you want to go. Well, the Lord moved this star the way he wanted it to go. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 9, because it went to where the young child was. Notice the change in the term. We read in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is referred to as a babe, an infant. Here he's referred to as a child. Also, when they had come into the barn where the manger was, no. They came into the stable where the manger was, no. They came into a house, an inn. Some kind of a structure other than a place where you house the livestock. So they are no longer there in where the manger is. So when you see these depictions of the wise men coming and worshiping Jesus in the barn, wrong. They came approximately 2 years later. It might even been three. Because that term child, when you look it up in the Strong's, refers to not an infant, but to a child. And scholars will tell you that term means 2 years or older. And they came to the house where they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But then divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Notice that. When they talked to Herod, they didn't go find a place to take a nap. They got right back on their camels, their horses, whatever they, however they were doing that. And they went to where the star stopped. And in the house, they found the child, Jesus. And they gave him gifts. What do we do around Christmas time? We give gifts. What do we do on birthdays? We give gifts. What do we do when somebody dies? We go have a big feast. We do. Let's be honest about it. We celebrate these things. We celebrate these things. Continuing on. So, Daryl, what are you coming at? Well, I want you to listen to this scripture from the Apostle Paul concerning days. Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another person esteems every day alike. Let each one be convinced in his own mind. Now, we all do that. None of us here have a problem with that. You'll say, well, what's going to go on tomorrow? I don't know. It's just going to be another day. Somebody else will say, oh, it's going to be a great day. I've got this planned. I've got that planned. It's a day for me because it's a day I can remember something that happened. What was it, years ago? December 7th? Franklin Roosevelt said it was a day that would live in infamy, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. If I say 9/11, we all know what happened on 9/11. If I say May 4th, some of you may scratch your head a little bit. Wasn't that the day the shootings occurred in Kent State? And people will remember those, not in a joyful celebration, but in a memory of what happened. One person esteems a day like this. Another one esteems every day the same. Some people, okay, that happened. Some people will say, that's part of life. Move on. So the scripture says, you can do with each day what you want to. He who observes the day, you observe it a certain way. I don't care whether it's the 25th of December or if it's March 3rd. You observe it to the Lord. If it's going to be something special to you, you make sure God gets the glory for that day. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. In other words, you're not doing anything special. You're just going on with your life. He who eats, eats to the Lord. And he who gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat. But he still gives God thanks. I'm going to throw out a little joke, little story here. Family sat down to have a meal at a house, and they had invited some people in. And the little boy that was a guest there was asked, we want you to say, little Billy, we want you to say the prayer before we eat. He said, well, can I wait and say it afterwards? Well, why do you want to say it afterwards? Because I want to make sure I'm thankful for what I'm praying for. He didn't know whether the food was going to be any good or not. But you know, you stop and you think, you look at this. When you observe it, you do it to the Lord. He didn't want to say, dear God, thank you for this food. I mean, if somebody sat down and gave me broccoli to eat, I don't think I would say thank you, Lord, for this broccoli because I don't like broccoli. No offense to those of you that do. It's just my grandson loves it. Connor just eats it all he can. Anyway, let's go on. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. And to this end, Christ died. To this end, Christ died. But to remember and celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday is not commanded in the New Testament. It's not commanded in the New Testament any more than it is to celebrate anyone else's birthday as a religious holiday. Anywhere in the New Testament you can find that tells me that we're to celebrate Ernie's birthday as a religious holiday? Nope. No offense, Ernie. But it's not there. And it's not there to celebrate Jesus' birthday as a religious holiday. But what does Ernie's family do when his birthday comes around? They celebrate it in one fashion or another. We are to remember Christ's death upon the cross, which took away our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, which tells us that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And in the process, our sins are taken away, and we arise to walk a new way of life. We are commanded to remember Christ's death upon the cross on the first day of the week. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 23. The Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian brethren this. And we've talked a little bit this morning about how they were eating the Lord's Supper and making it a feast. And some were having real fancy food and others were having just a little bit of nothing. Paul says, no, this isn't how it's done. So I'm going to tell you how you partake of the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, I receive from the Lord that which I have also delivered to you. I've told you this in the past, but I'm going to tell you again. That the Lord took the Lord Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That is what we are to remember. Not his birth. We are not to remember his birth as a religious holiday. We are to remember his death, however, whenever we partake of it. And how often are we to partake of it? How often? Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week. When the disciples came together upon the first day of the week. What first day of the week? Every first day of the week. And you can find examples, as I've got listed there in Mark 26, or Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, of where the Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord himself. All of that has been said to say this. If you want to remember Jesus' birth, as you would your own. Now understand that. Not on a big celebration like this. If you want to celebrate it as you would your own, I cannot condemn you for that. If you want to celebrate it like you do your own birthday, I can't condemn you. I can only condemn you when you make it into a big religious celebration. Because that is not what we're supposed to remember. It just isn't commanded. It's not to be a religious holiday. It's not to be a religious holiday. But if you're not a baptized Christian, you're not remembering his death either. And you won't be remembering his death upon the first day of the week. You won't be remembering his death upon the cross. You won't be remembering his life. You won't be remembering any of that if you're not a member of the Lord's church. So, are you remembering Christ according to his examples? Are you remembering him according to your example, the examples that's been given to us in His New Testament? Are you remembering His death? Because that's what is important. Now, He couldn't have died if He hadn't been born. He couldn't have died if He hadn't been born. But we need to remember His death. That is what is important. That is what we are commanded to do. That's what we're commanded to do. And we need to know that we've heard the word of God and believe it. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of our sins. Be baptized in the water grave of baptism, Romans 6 talks about, and then arise to walk a new way of life. That is the command that we have. And we need to do that. And then we are to remember His death every first day of the week. Are you ready to do that? If you're not a child of God's, then you're not ready to do it. If you're not a child of God, you need to be. So this morning, as we offer the invitation, as Tom has come, I believe the song is, "Do You Know My Jesus?" So that would be the question. Do you know my Jesus? Now, Jesus was born years ago, died on the cross, and He said, "I want you to do a couple of things. One, be my follower, and two, remember my death." If you need to respond, will you come as together we stand and sing?
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know?
Thank Daryl for coming this morning and having the fine lesson. Please turn to 142. As Daryl just mentioned, upon the first day of the week, we take the Lord's Supper in Acts 20, verse 7.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest ever.
Does anybody need the Lord's Supper? If so, Jimmy can get it for you. All right. If not, okay. We come and we surround his table in remembrance of what Christ did for us up on the cross. We learned this morning from the lesson that Daryl gave us. We're to do this up on the first day of the week. That we're commanded to do this every week. And we're also, you know, we talked about it in our Bible class, the sacrifices. And the different, you know, we talked about it in our Bible class, how in the verse where the people at the time, they were giving the governor the best. And that's where we learn that we're to do the opposite. We need to give God the best. And that's like it was mentioned that Christ was given to us by God. That's the best that God had. And he gave us Christ. So we learned that from, you know, we're to give out and give the best that we have. I like to turn to Mark in chapter 14, and start with verse 22 and read through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You know, upon the first day of the week, we're to take the emblems that we have to take. Like the bread represents Christ's body that was taken up on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represent the blood that he shed for all of us. And Christ did all that for us. And he didn't even know any of us, because it was way before us. But we don't know what we need to do this upon the first day of the week. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to surround this table in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to continue our thanks of the blood that Christ shed upon the cross. Bless this fruit of the vine for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Separate and apart from partaking of the Lord's Supper is the offering. We're also commanded to give back what we've been prospering for the work of the church. There's a container back in the foyer. You know, if you already haven't done it, you can do it when you go to leave. Back in the back, and it helps and takes care of the church and keeps it going. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. Be with us as we do that and give back for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. A few announcements here this morning. We have too many sick people. Wrong time of year to be sick. Supposed to be happy and bright and feeling good. Tyler and Maria, they're traveling this morning. Lisa Hoffman, she is in the hospital with pneumonia, so keep her in your prayers. Also, Wendy is sick. Diane, she's away visiting this morning. Got a card here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Thanks for all the kindness shown to our family at this difficult time. Love from the Frank Smith family. Get a bulletin back there in the back. A lot of stuff there. Jared's got it, or there's new podcasts weekly. Jared, I ain't going to put them out. They'll be there at midnight on Thursday, or I think it's 12:01 on Thursdays, he said. So that'll be a new ongoing thing we have. Also, for the Christmas holiday coming up, we'll be changing our services on the. We'll have service on the 26th, which is Thursday, the day after Christmas. Then on the 31st. We'll be having a New Year's Eve get-together potluck and devotional and song, and we will not having, there'll be no Bible class on Wednesday. So those couple little changes. Get a bulletin, a lot of information there. Like I say, way too many sick people on that bulletin. So everybody stay well for a while. Is there anything else I don't know about or should know about? If not, we'll be dismissed by a closing prayer.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for your many blessings upon us, Lord. So thankful, Lord God, for the freedom we have to come to worship thee, Lord. Lord, and we pray that all Christians over this world, Lord, would have the same freedom that we have to be able to gather together in your name and worship thee. Lord, so thankful for Darrell and his wife and the messages he has brought forth to us, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for the life in itself that you have gave us, Lord. Lord, and we pray for all those that are sick and afflicted among us, Lord. We know we have many sick, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for your healing touch with them, Lord. Lord, and be with all those, Lord, it's not you're with us this morning for whatever reason, Lord. We pray, Lord, you would bless them and bring them back, Lord. Lord, and as we go home, Lord, we pray, Lord, we would take thee with us, Lord, and worship thee every day of our life on this earth, Lord, that we would give you the praise that you deserve, Lord, and we know that you deserve all praise. And we ask you just be with us and guide us this week, Lord, and help us, Lord, to do your will, Lord, and not ours. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.